Romans chapter 5. This too shall pass. You know, I love being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not bragging, but I guess I am. Paul would say in Corinthians that he boasted on his gift simply because it was given to him to share. And so in boasting about it, I share it. That the Holy Spirit in this building is alive and well. And I mean alive and well. Because when I walk through this door sometimes, I'm curious where I'm being led. And when I hear things come out of people's mouths, I know. I know. Paul writing a letter to the Romans called Peace and Joy, the subtitle. Romans chapter 5, first 11 verses. Therefore, and he's continuing on from chapter 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for this and for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We're going to talk about that. For the moment, let's pray. Father, put our hearts together. Set our labors aside. Put all the things that assail us over to the outside of this room. Right now, we need to be drawn closer to You, Father. We need to hear the words that You have given me to speak. We need to know it's good to be here. Lift us up through this service, Father. And all of Your children, all of Your children, through Jesus Christ said, amen. I'm having a hard go of it lately. And I'll be honest with you, it's wearing on me. I feel that I am being attacked at every move I make. And it's bearing down on me hard. Does anybody else have that feeling right now? You don't have to put your hands up. You can just do this. Because I know at some point, somewheres, if it ain't today, if it ain't this minute, it will be that you'll feel that push from being attacked on all sides. I feel that everything that I'm doing right now is causing me to be attacked. And let me clarify, it ain't got nothing to do with what's going on at home or in this church. So we'll pull those two things out and set them off to the side. The beauty of being a Christian is a foundation on God and a church to go to. I'm telling you right now, those two things put together give you power and strength. But the rest of the world around me is beating me simple. I work in a caustic atmosphere. I live outside of this area in a toxic atmosphere. And sometimes it gets to me. And lately it seems like it has been more than it needs to be. And quite frankly, it's starting to get me to a point where I am losing a little bit of my patience and becoming an angry person. I keep getting attacked. I pray and it doesn't stop. I say, Lord, make it stop, and it doesn't go away. I get on my knees and humble myself in front of him. Please make this stop, and it doesn't go away. Anybody in here ever felt like that? You're praying with everything you have, and it's not going. And it's making me a little crazy, or have been, until something happened this week, and I began to understand that this too shall pass. Two things happened. This past week, Buck has been sick. He's got sinus infection, whatever it is. And I get sent to the grocery store. Now, let's review Paul Leatherman in the grocery store. I hate that place. I am not someone that should be ever allowed to walk through the grocery store doors alone. If anything, send the kids with me so I'll get out of there even faster. Don't let me alone in a grocery store. Give me a list. Call me every minute to make sure I'm in the right row. Once I go into a grocery store, all bets are off. I am not a patient person. I don't like being run over by carts. I don't like kids standing next to me yelling. I don't like standing in line. I don't like people who, when they ask me if they can help me, look like they want to throw something at me when they say, "Can I help you?" No, but I can help you. I go to a grocery store and I get lost. I walk down an aisle, right? Hey, man, cookies are on sale. And I'll actually stop and ponder that. And I never leave a grocery store without ice cream. Ever. This past week, I got sent to the grocery store. Notice how I phrased that. I got sent. And I got told, go in, go straight to the pharmacy, take this little slip of paper. They forgot to give us the right amount of pills for Buck's medicine. They'll have them waiting. Go straight there. You don't have to do anything. Just pick them up and walk out. Okay. I can do that. Because you see, in the grocery store we go to down in Frederick, you go in the door, you turn left, and there's the pharmacy. Can't possibly get into trouble. Or so I thought. When we shop at this grocery store, we have done it for pretty much all the boys' lives. And the grocery store had an area known as the kids' area. In this grocery store, they call it the Eagle's Nest, Giant Eagle grocery store, whatever it was. And it was great because you could go in, put the kids there, and the kids were in a locked, supervised environment. And then they could play and do things. And the two ladies that were there were absolutely magnificent. And you had a beeper. Did you wear a beeper? No, you had a number. And boy, let me tell you what, you didn't want to be the one to hear... Let me get on that thing. Mrs. Leatherman, come get him. And I heard that too, boy. I love being in that grocery store and hear those words. Parent 465, please come check on your child. And I would laugh while I was standing in that cookie aisle. But in the middle of October, the corporate decision closed the Eagle's Nest. All of them. All 200 of them in all their stores closed them up. Something so beautiful. Something so simple. She's in the grocery store last week telling me about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. What do I care? I go to the grocery store that day and I walk in. And you have to walk past that building or that area of the store. And I walked over to it. And I stood there for a minute looking through the opening to a dark room with toys boxed up, all the pictures down, everything boxed up and covered. And I literally started to cry. I went over and got the pills. I didn't go anywhere else in the store because my mind was broken. And as I left the store, started to leave, I went back to it again. And I leaned up on the counter of that place, and I just began to think about all the times we'd come in there and put the boys in there. And that little piece of our life is gone. And it broke my heart. And I got in the truck, and I was broken. I went home. Lord, why would you show me something like that? Why would you even let that in my life? Any other time when I'm in the grocery store, Lord, you guide me right to the ice cream aisle. Well, probably Satan, but you know. And I had to start thinking, what are you trying to teach me? Why would you show me that? And so the days rolled on. I'm looking at work. I'm looking at the world around me. I'm listening to the way people are. And I picked up a magazine and I began to read. And I read about a man named Al Jenkins, who none of you know. As a matter of fact, I didn't know Al Jenkins. Al Jenkins plays a prominent point in my thought process as to why I started to learn what the Lord had for me to teach you. You see, tractors at one time of day, yes, it's a tractor story, all had steel wheels. And pretty near everybody in here remembers that. And at one point, Harvey Firestone wanted to put rubber tires on tractors. They said it'll never work. You can't make it happen. You can't do it. Nobody's going to put rubber tires on. They won't have the grip. There'll be all these problems with it. So Harvey Firestone of Firestone Tires on his own farm took a farm all regular and put his own tires on it and went out and himself, the owner of the company, went out to his family farm and began to farm with it and invited everyone to come watch. All of a sudden, people weren't saying so many things. They were seeing the value. Harvey Firestone was a salesman. In 1932, he enlisted a man named Barney Oldfield. How many people in here are race car fans? Boy, I'm by myself, ain't I? Does anybody in here know who Barney Oldfield is? Okay, good. Barney Oldfield was a great IndyCar driver. And they stuck Barney Oldfield on a 1933 W. Alice Chalmers U and put big tires on that thing and changed the gearbox in it and sent him out into the countryside with four other guys on matching U tractors, and they raced tractors at the state fair. They had tractor races at the state fair. I have pictures. And it was a big deal to go to these fairs and see these guys win. Believe you me, Barney Oldfield always won. His tractor ran about 40 miles an hour, but Barney set a land speed record on this U tractor of 65 miles an hour. 65 miles an hour on a tractor. The man is my hero. You understand? And he was great. He was lauded for it. Oh my golly, he drove a tractor 65 miles an hour. First of all, I can't even speak sometimes when I think about it. And his record stood, and he was great. And then comes Al Jenkins. Al Jenkins took an Alice Chalmers WC, put tires on it, changed the gearbox, dropped the weight on it, took it to the Bonneville Salt Flats, a tractor at Bonneville. You know, that's when I know there is a heaven. And he took that tractor to 70 miles an hour. His son later said that basically all the man could do was stand up in the seat, prop his feet against both fenders, and hold on for dear life. And that record stands today. Barney Oldfield set the record. Al Jenkins came along. And that's when I thought I heard, "This too shall pass. Nothing is forever." You understand where I'm going now? We go back to Romans chapter 5. Nothing is forever. Everything shall pass. The pain, the misery, the suffering shall pass. Let's go back to that chapter for a moment. Paul writing to the Romans. I am sure that when Paul was with his quill on parchment paper, when he sat down, he said, as he was writing it, "Someday Paul Leatherman will stand in a pulpit and talk about tractors with this scripture in mind." But it's true. Let's go down here a little bit. Verse 3. "And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." Stop right there. That's where it gets hard, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? It's hard to rejoice in that. I have begged Christ. I have said, "Please, Jesus, I don't want to go to work today and put up with this." And it didn't change. And I came home that day, and I was in a foul mood until I got to my driveway. And I began to understand something that Paul was writing about. We also rejoice in our sufferings. Just put that right there. Because we know that suffering produces what? Say it. Oh, you guys are not quite with it this morning. Suffering produces what? One, two, three.
Perseverance.
Do you know what perseverance is? Keep going. If everything in our life was rosy once you became a Christian, if everything was perfect, what's that old bumper sticker used to say? And they ought to reissue that bumper sticker. God doesn't promise a comfortable flight, only a safe landing. Remember that one? If everything in our life was easy after you became a Christian, what's the first thing you forget about? And do you know how I know that? Because our cars today now have computers in them. And they now, I opened the hood on our car, and I have looked, there could be a piano in there for all I know. They're not the same ones that I grew up working on. If they break down now, you become so used to things, you just sit around and wait on the record. If you had everything handed to you as a Christian, you'd forget the one that handed it to you. Paul says it produces perseverance. I'm sorry that you have to suffer, but that's the only way. The only way. That's how it has to be. Because if you don't suffer some, you'll forget. Paul said, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. But perseverance produces what? Character, thank you. And character makes what? Are y'all Christians or are y'all asleep? Character makes what?
Hope.
That's right. Because this too shall pass. As I stood there, and now several days later, after reading that article, after hearing what you had to say, Mina, I understand that this too shall pass. That whatever I'm suffering, guess what it's doing? It's making me pray harder. It's making me think more. It's making me dwell in my weakness, in Jesus Christ, in the arm of the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to please, please, please continue to lead me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where you say amen.
Amen.
This has got me so wound up this morning. That's why I guess I'm in such a good mood. Because I knew what I wanted to preach on today. Because I knew that I'm going to suffer. I know that tomorrow morning I'm going to suffer. I know that today when I go to that interview, I'm going to suffer. But I don't care. I don't care. Because this too shall pass. One day I'm not going to go to that interview. One day I'm eventually going to be done in classes. And I'm going to go to ordination. And that's it. One day I know that the sufferings that we cannot seem to get out from underneath of here on this earth is gone. That's it. Nothing that we do today will stand forever except what we do for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so we suffer. Back to the scripture. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This too shall pass. I want you all to be in the same love that I'm in. I want you all to understand that the suffering, that whatever it is that pushes down on you, I pray for you and I hurt for you. All of you. Because it kills me. Because I know what it does to me. But I also know that Jesus Christ suffered greatly beyond what I could ever, ever, ever do. Would I lay down my life for someone? I don't know. Would I ever be asked to? I don't know. Would I go willingly? I don't know. Paul says right there, no man will willingly lay down his life. But he did. And do you know why? Because the sufferings that we have, because the things that we go through, because of the beatings that we take, because of the nasty language that we hear, because of the things that we see, then all that does is push us closer to the love of God. All it does is draw us in deeper to what He has to offer. And at the other end of it, with the character that's built, with the hope that comes out of it, we can turn to someone who is fighting the same battle and say, Jesus loves you. This I know. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well-known set of scriptures. The scripture I probably should have on a card and in front of me the whole time when I start whining because the world is so hard. And I will say that I whine. You with me there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's thorn. In the 6th verse, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. That's the lead-in verse. Whenever you read the thorn scripture, which is what I call it, everybody forgets verse number 6 because Paul is laying it out there. He is happy to be in pain. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited. Boy, I tell you what, if that ain't talking to me. To keep me from becoming conceited. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Stop right there. Anybody in here ever pick blackberries? Ain't they fun to pick? Ouch, 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 ouch. And the whole time you're picking them dumb things, you're thinking, what am I doing this for? I hate picking these stupid things. Until you get them on the ice cream or in the pie. And then you're like, whoo, boy, I love blackberries. I go down through the sticker bushes all the time, and I understand how many times you have gone in and sat down in a house and suddenly found a sticker somewhere in your leg or in your back. Boy, you're just digging all around looking for that thing, ain't you? And sometimes you can't find it. It drives you crazy. Imagine that feeling with Paul suffering. I don't know what the thorn was. He never alludes to it. But I will bet you it was people around him that were being hard on him because he was once Paul, the great teacher, the great Jewish law scholar, and now was Paul the servant. Let's read on. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am saved. Strong. This too shall pass. Whatever it is, I don't know. I can't begin to imagine because each of us lives such a different life, but we all face the same sufferings. They'll pass. Not tomorrow, not the next day, maybe not ever. Maybe you're going to have to endure that for the rest of your time here. But as Paul has said repeatedly, that is to build you up and show you the glory of Christ. I delight in my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. This too shall pass. Nothing stands forever. Whatever has happened in front of you has happened for a reason. And if you fall forward into the arms of Christ and continue to pray and let Him handle it, you will come to that understanding of it. Is it hard? Yes. Is it fun? No. Do you want to do it? Absolutely not. But what other choice do you have? None. What am I going to do? Quit preaching next Sunday? That'll save me from having to shave my beard. No. Are you going to quit loving Christ just because things ain't going your way? course not. So unfortunately, we have to suffer. But this too will pass. This too will go away. I promise you, one day we will know the full glory and power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we will know heaven. And right now, while we're on earth and we're in full suffering of it, we need to speak about it. Yesterday, I was at an auction. I had it in my mind that I wanted to get one of them there Eden Pure heaters and try to make my furnace run a little less. And I thought, well, I'll go to, there was an auction right up here at the American Heritage Auction Center. So I went there. They had three of them. I thought, well, I'll pick one up for $50 and we'll see what happens. Let me explain something to you. You're not getting one for $50. But I sat there for a long time just to find out that I wasn't supposed to get them heaters. And I started to leave there mad, but then I recounted everything that happened to me yesterday. And I haven't told anybody about anything that happened, so you all are about to hear it first. Not even Wendy. The first thing that happened was, there I am, bib overhauls, shirt, you know, steam engine hat, beard unshaved, just sitting there with my book reading, waiting for my turn. And this fella comes up and he taps me on the shoulder. And I look up, I'm a little startled because I know absolutely nobody there. He goes, are you a preacher? And I went, yeah. And I'm telling you, this is what he did. He turned around to the other side and he goes, yeah, it's him. what did I do? This husband and wife came to our last spaghetti dinner auction where I started as the auctioneer. And they raved over the feeling they got from being in this church. They want to know when the next auction is. They want to know when the next dinner is. But they said, we enjoyed ourselves so much, and we thank you. We love the fact that you came to us and asked us if everything was going well. That was wonderful. Thank you, Father. An hour later, back to myself, reading my book, waiting my turn. Suddenly there's a lot of activity on the other end of the building and people are rushing over there as a man is having chest pains pretty badly. He'd started to slump forward and people all around him and he had pretty much no movement. And I looked over there and I said, well, I know what I got to do. Threw my hat off and I walked over there and people were running around in the middle of the bath. I said, hey, I'm the pastor out at Long Meadow Church's brother. You mind if I pray? And everybody stopped at once and looked at me. Bib overhauls and everything. No, go ahead. And I laid hands and started to pray. When I got done, he sat up and started talking. A little bit slurring. And they come and got him. He was able to get himself in the cart that they carry him with. Do you understand? If you turn away from the love of Christ, you don't get to do that. You understand, if you let your sufferings push down on you, that was my lesson. All the whining that I've done this week, oh, woe is me. And I'm not saying that you are whining. I'm saying Paul Leatherman III whined, because I shouldn't be. I should be taking that which is given to me, thankful for it, accepting it, and pushing it back at it. All of that is because of the love of Jesus Christ. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Do you want to know? I just read this again. I've read this scripture thousands of times. And I never knew it was a scripture for this too shall pass. I never knew it was a scripture that said to me, suffer is good, delight in your sufferings, Paul. I never realized that this scripture that I'm about to read to you, that you may not know it for that way, is a suffering scripture that might as well say at the beginning, this too shall pass. When you are weak, then you are strong in me. Would you like to hear the scripture? Are you ready? I'm not even going to tell you where it is. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If that scripture right there, that song that all of us know, doesn't spell it all out in one point, let me walk you through it real fast. Ready? I suffer. I'm a human. I live on this earth. I walk in the face of the enemies of Christ Almighty. I sit at the table with them. I walk through this world waiting for me to be beat on, to be assailed. And yet God is with me. Yet no matter what happens, because I have given my heart to Him and allowed it to walk away, doesn't matter. It'll all pass away. Surely, it'll follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. And do you know what else? You will dwell forever in the house of the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Father, hear us as we pray now. Understand, Father, that we fall in front of you weak. Because that's unfortunately what we are. And I say unfortunately because I would rather not be. But now that I have read more and walked with you more, now that we have come through the Holy Spirit, through an understanding of your word today, we understand that our suffering is not our own. It's yours as well. You don't want any of us to hurt or suffer. But as Paul has written, because we do, it will produce the character from perseverance that gives us the hope for the glory of Jesus Christ, that we may richly share with other people and may let everyone know, I am a Christian, you can be one too. And you, with me, will dwell forever in the house of the Lord. Father, I say, let them come. And as much as I suffer, return me that much more to my knees in prayer. I say, Father, to the same, to my brothers and sisters gathered here today, to return them to their knees in prayer. To remind them that this is only a little bit. That this too shall pass, like records that man has put up and thought would never be shattered, and someone has come along and shattered it, so shall it be till the end of time. The only thing that will never be taken away is our salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, draw us in ever more closer as we suffer. We'll still ask why. We'll still be confused. But remind us in those little moments what being chosen, what being saved, what having faith really means. This too shall pass. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If there is a particular need this morning, if you need strengthening, prayer bench is open for you to leave it behind. And if not, if you need me, I am here. But I ask that you would stand as we sing our final hymn, which I haven't looked at.
105.
Oh, amen.